Welcome to another edition of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network. I am your host, still reigning, defending Universal Champion, Chief Keith Fleming. With me, as always, the ravishing one, Ron L. Tinsley, and Sam the Shooter Howell. What's going on, boys?
Just complained about
Kenny Omega finger there, Sam. Did I see that?
It's the Bullet Club, buddy. It's the Bullet Club. It's not just Kenny Omega.
It looked a lot like Kenny, the way Kenny Omega does it. Just calling a spade a spade. Excuse me, the Bullet Club finger bang.
Yeah,
I know what's going on, buddy.
Not much, man. I'm doing all right. Actually, pretty excited about the Dynamite that just happened.
Yeah, wrestling has been pretty good the last couple of weeks. Excited about the draft coming up, too. I don't know how I got those dates wrong on the last podcast. I thought it was starting last Friday. It's starting this Friday. But before we jump into Off the Top, just real quickly want to remind everyone, the IB Sports Podcast Network is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor. We would greatly appreciate if you'd subscribe, rate, review, and share the litany of podcasts available on the IB Sports Podcast Network. So let's get to Off the Top. WWE presented Extreme Rules this past Sunday from Columbus, Ohio. They said, AEW, we will see your non-finish time limit draw, and we will raise you a non-finish disqualification. I actually personally was not upset with it. I was excited to see Sasha. I really thought when she first came down to interrupt the Bianca and Becky match, which I thought was a great match up to that point, I really thought that she was going to pair up with Becky. I thought that that's what we were going to get. I was pleasantly surprised that I don't know if she's going to be more of a tweener, if she's going to be more of a heel like she was when she left, but I am really excited to see Sasha return and the looming Becky versus Sasha versus Bianca triple threat, I think, is going to make what happened Sunday worth it down the road.
I love that Extreme Rules was full of rules. I actually was ready to give the Sasha Bianca five rabbit opossums, which is my new rating scale. But with the fuck finish, I have to go to 4 3/4 rabbit opossums.
Okay, you've gone full Dave Meltzer. That's wonderful.
I'm Sam Meltzer.
I wasn't really all that, I wasn't all that excited about the finish, but you know, it is what it is. They had to do something to justify the demon finally taking his first loss, I guess. So, I mean, that was fine. I'm really excited about the triple threat for the ladies. I thought the Street Profits and the Usos put on a freaking banger. So
that's what you mentioned. The main event.
You know, thought the card was pretty good.
Let's get into that main event. Reigns goes.
That was all.
Hold on, Sam. Let me get to it. Then you can crap on it.
Thank you.
I thought it was a great match. I really did. I thought that the ending was not great, and I am very interested to see what they do with this, because I really do try to wait and see before I start, you know, crapping on stuff. I don't think they're going to have a good reasoning or what's going to happen behind the rope breaking. I think Pat McAfee yelling, what he did when it happened, like what Bush League stuff is this, almost felt like his natural feeling. But I thought it was a great match for then. I think WWE did maybe miss an opportunity here. I know Reigns has been, you know, just on another level for the last year and a half, but I thought it would have been a moment, because I thought it was great up until the top rope, the way that, you know, he's getting beat down. You think you've seen this match before from WWE with Roman Reigns as of late. The Finn's music came on. He comes to life and then, you know, battle back to win. I mean, you could even have him, if you don't want to, say, keep the belt off Reigns for long, have him fight him as just Finn, you know, right again in the next couple of weeks and have him take the belt right back. But I don't understand why they, you know, even introduced The Fiend, other than, I guess, just to make him a threat. And they gave the match on Friday. But, again, I thought it was a great match. And then WWE booked themselves into a corner. And lately they have not done a good job booking themselves out of it. Ronel, I mean, do I pretty much have the main event nailed there?
Yeah, you pretty much crossed all the T's and dotted the I's. I actually – listen, we watch pro wrestling or wrestling entertainment, whatever may have you, to suspend reality. So they tried something new. At first, I was like, wait, what's going on? And the fact that they had used that and, like, used the heartbeat to kind of beat the demon – see, you almost had me say The Fiend as well.
sorry.
to revive the demon, and it kind of gave him the rush of adrenaline, whatever the case, whatever may have you. I don't know why they didn't pull the trigger. It really doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I don't know if there's anything that they can do to really explain it, unless this tribal chief thing is going to ascend towards godly levels. I honestly don't know. You know, you're right. They did book themselves into a corner once again.
I'm actually okay with the Reigns saying going towards godly levels. He has earned it in the last year.
So there are a few things that I hated about this. The first one is having – so you remember how last week I talked about how much I loved the Kenny Omega, Brian Danielson draw because it was the first chapter in a story? Unless this is just a one-off match, I don't know why you break the demon out. Because you what you do is you have Finn lose – a hard fart match, as Kane would say, and you have Finn come back and then bring the demon out. And if you want to have Roman beat the demon, fine. But if you don't, if you want to keep the demon protected, you don't have Seth Finn win in a fucking September pay-per-view. Just, but the I want to credit Jason Gilmartin for this, but nice to see God make his return on a WWE pay-per-view after 15-year absence. The other thing that I didn't like is that the top rope breaking feels dangerous. I know that, you know, they planned it. I'm sure there's stuff that they can do. It just doesn't sit right with me. And I feel like you've taken this character who you've invested 5 years of making very powerful and unbeaten, and you have him lose basically by slipping on a banana peel. And it just feels like such a stupid way of going about it. And if you didn't want Finn to lose cleanly as the demon, don't make him be the fucking demon. Let him be Finn Balor.
I agree with Mo for that. I do just want to, again, remind you, last week you defended Daniel Bryan with a broke neck, taking a snap suplex on a ramp. It's not too dangerous. But but Sam did too, I'm pretty sure, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought he did.
But anyway, no, I did.
Yeah. But you think it's dangerous for the top rope to break?
Yes. I think that there's because you don't, that's like you can protect yourself on that. And I guess you know that the top rope break is coming, but it's not something that usually happens. It's not a typical bump. It's supposed to look violent and painful. It just, I think that it's an unnecessary, the whole finish was unnecessary. I think that the fact that they wasted the demon on it just is especially frustrating.
You know, one last thing for me about this card, just top to bottom, that really bothers me is last year for the September pay-per-view, they had the Clash of Champions. Now, if they had used Clash of Champions or Armageddon or or whatever the case may be, if anything but an Extreme Rules, considering that only the main event was an extreme match, that was kind of one of the few things that bothered me. Other than that, like, the actual performances were really good.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna counterpoint that, though, is that I think that the WWE's idea, I'm with you, I wish that it was Armageddon, I wish that it was Clash of Champions, something that was not, because the WWE's sanitized version of Extreme is just not, like, we all know what's coming. It's going to be kendo sticks, chair shots to the back, maybe a table. It's just very, like, it's been done to death, and it's like Hell in a Cell. Like, we don't need this. Just do normal matches.
Well, I again think it's all about storytelling. I think that you can flood it, and you have too many and that's where it becomes generic. But I'm on the side that I don't want to see death matches. I mean, that's too much for me. I just I can't take it. So I actually prefer this match, but I agree with you that this should be a blow off feud type deal, not something that, you know, he messes with Finn for a few months on SmackDown, and the next thing you know, they're having the one Extreme Rules match on a match where you or a card where you have several other matches that would have made so much more sense being Extreme Rules match, including the Bianca versus you know, Becky match, which we know now they couldn't do because of the Sasha interference. Yeah. You know, even the Charlotte Alexa match would have made sense with, you know, some of the things that were said back and forth with them over the last couple of weeks. Finally, I do want to talk about, before we move on, they continue to build up my man Big E. He gets the pin, gets the W in the six-man. You know, this led to, with what happened on Monday night as well, the reunion of the Hurt Business. And I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. If we don't get War Games at Survivor Series or somewhere new with New Day versus the freaking Tribe versus the Hurt Business, I'm going to flip my shit, because it would be epic. They're setting it up. Let's do this thing. I am 100% on board.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sign me up like tomorrow.
I got to be honest with you. I was not even thinking about that, but, and especially if we can get them to bring back like the old War Games, like with the roof and shit.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm 100% here for it. Absolutely. I think it's a great call. I'd not thought of that. Good call, Keith. You deserve credit for that.
Well, they needed to, I mean, it'd be a way to, nobody's going to look bad coming out of the match, right? Nobody looks bad coming out of War Games. It'd be a way to have another Lashley and Big E interaction, another Big E versus, you know, I mean, I really do believe that, you know, I'd also be interested to see who goes over, because you could make a case for any of those teams needing it.
But while we're still speaking positively, this is one of those instances where I didn't need the story to make sense. So I'm happy to see that, you know, there's really no explanation for why the Hurt Business is back outside of the fact that MVP is actually injured. I'm okay with it, because they should have never gotten rid of it in the first place.
So I'm going to piggyback off of this. First of all, yeah, somebody can look bad coming out of War Games. Watch the 97, 90, and 98 ones. But just ask Ric Flair when they killed off the Carolinas in WCW. But in terms of the Hurt Business getting back together, I think that it makes perfect sense if, you know, Lashley realizes that the New Day is stronger together. He realized, and the Hurt Business, you know, Cedric and Benjamin haven't done as well without separately. And so Bobby Lashley's like, hey, man, like, let's do this together. So it makes sense to me. I actually like it.
So Seth Rollins appeared on the Broken Skull Sessions podcast with Steve Austin. And do you guys believe that he actually had to be restrained from choking Vince McMahon after the non-finish with Bray Wyatt in the Hell in a Cell match, as he says?
I don't know if it'll be that far. I can believe that he may have went back there and had a lot of choice words about having to go through it. I highly doubt that. I don't know. I just don't. But then again, I don't know the man personally. So maybe he did have the fire to dare go for the boss.
Did he say, I feel like I didn't watch this, but did he say that that was not the original finish?
I don't know. I haven't listened to
it. He said that that was the planned finish, and they didn't like the, you know, both him and Bray didn't like the idea, but they were like, well, this is what it is. Go make it happen.
I don't buy it. I think that, you know, I think that Seth at that point, and I think Bray too, could have said, listen, like, we don't like this finish, and there would have been enough to stop that. I don't believe it. I think that, you know, I get why he would say that. Like, that was kind of the point that I turned on Seth as a performer.
Well, it wasn't just you. I mean, that was the time pretty much everybody, and unfairly. I mean, that's one of those instances where I get sick of wrestling fans, is they took out their displeasure more than anybody on Seth Rollins, and he paid a mighty fine penny. I mean, yeah, he went from the number one face in the company at that time to, you know, I mean, honestly, if he wouldn't had that great character gimmick, you know, shift with the Messiah stuff, who knows what it would have happened. So, and again, it wasn't his fault.
Is that Tyler Black showing up on AEW?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Seth Seth and Roman are WWE guys, and rightfully so.
No, they're lifers.
Let's move into the superlatives. Wrestler on the rise. I talked about this a little bit when I mentioned the pay-per-view. Big E opened and closed the show on Monday. I love the steel cage match with Lashley. He's had victories over Lashley over and over again. I mean, he had the six-man tag to start the show on Monday, obviously the cage match afterwards. That, you know, again, Sunday night, they defeated Lashley, AJ, and Omos, where he picked up again the pinfall on Lashley. And again, I know we all like to crap on WWE, their creative, all that stuff, and I get it, but they do deserve credit that this looks like this is the third straight first-time WWE champ that they are building up well. Because when Drew McIntyre first won the belt, we talked about how they built him up. They, you know, made him legit. And then we were a little baffled, right, when they gave the belt to Lashley, even after that long reign for him. But they used Drew, who they had built up and put into a higher class, to build up Lashley and legitimize him. And now it appears they're doing the exact same thing with Lashley on Big E. And I'm okay with that. That's actually the way it should be.
A great formula.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you have a year and a half now, almost 2 years of first-time WWE champions, who I think that they really have. They've done a good job building up guys that have never been to the top of the mountain. That's something WWE has really struggled with. Even with like somebody like Roman Reigns the first time. I mean, it's something that they miss a lot. And they've got that right. So Big E's my wrestler on the rise. And again, I will give credit to WWE booking for the way they've booked the last couple of WWE champions.
Go ahead, Sammy.
I mean, I love Big E. I stand by, like, I hope that they do this. It actually makes me more frustrated with the WWE because they can do this with these guys and they just, I'm not going to get into that. My wrestler on the rise. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing I haven't said before. It's Bianca Belair, who I thought the question, you know, she had this great match with Sasha. She was a great champion. And I was not kidding. If that had been and I actually don't hate the interference finish. I get why they did it. I think having Sasha come back, I don't like a steady diet of it. But I thought that it was headed for 5 stars. I thought Bianca is just so damn good at pro wrestling.
Yeah, she did. I mean, don't get me wrong. Becky looked great for her first real match and et cetera, you know, considering that first one. But yeah, Bianca carried her in that match. And to your point, Keith, I had almost wanted to choose Big E for face of the week. And it's like, well, that would have been me going 3 in a row. And it's like, wait a minute. Are we going to make it the Big E face of the week? But, you know, let's pump the brakes on that right quick. But anyway, my wrestler on the rise, I'm going to give a little shine to the AEW guys. You know, Bron Breakker, even by not appearing in the ring this past week, made himself look strong by telling Tommaso, listen, I'm just coming for the belt. You know, I'm not here to make friends. Even got Seth Rollins to tweet because, you know, he dropped an expletive on NXT. And my other one is Mandy Rose by, you know, using her new tag team to attack Raquel Gonzalez. And it looks like she's going to at least get a shot at the championship at some point in the future. And, you know, considering that she had to go down to NXT as a demotion, it wouldn't be such a bad thing if she got rewarded by an NXT championship. I mean, I'm not putting the belt on her, but gets what she gets right now.
The one thing I not to cut you up, but I did want to piggyback just something else because you mentioned this. Becky was always a good worker, was never a great worker. I always thought that she was somebody who was good on her own with the right partner, was great. And I thought that, you know, Bianca, you were right, carried her. So more kudos to Bianca.
Absolutely. Moving on to the wrestler on the slide. I hate to say this because he's honestly one of my favorite guys, but MJF right now, the loss to Jericho has stalled some of his momentum. And I don't care what anybody tries to tell me. You beat Jericho. I know he got a win. Or excuse me, you lose to Jericho. And what is the blow off of that feud? And, yeah, you're on the Grand Slam card. But, I mean, no offense to Brian Pillman Jr., but to me, that's not where MJF should be. I think that he is the guy that should be that top heel and who they are, you know, making that next top heel in the company. Because after Omega loses the title, I mean, who is your next top heel when you're a company that is filled with faces? I mean, listen to this face group that they have right now. Brian, Punk, Hangman, Darby, Jungle Boy, Christian, you know, Orange Cassidy. You're going to need a heel champion down the road. I think we all can agree that usually when wrestling's at its best, you have a great heel champion and you have a, you know, an up and coming face chasing them. That's just what makes, you know, a lot of the entertainment in it. So
I'm cool.
well, maybe, but I mean, how are you going to tell that story? You know what I mean? Like, honestly, how you think Omega's going to take it well, and he's going to be a heel at the same time
as I'm Omega? Balls.
Yeah. I mean, that's my point. It's like, they, again, because he's already in the Elite, otherwise I would agree with that, but I would just see him turning face, especially with how over he is right now with, you know, the Bay Bay chants and stuff. And again, I just want to point out sometimes the hypocrisy in AEW fans that overall they had no problem with a 50-year-old guy winning a blow-off match against one of their up-and-coming best young stars in the company. And then he is immediately feuding with, again, no disrespect to Brian Pillman Jr. I'm not saying that eventually he will not be potentially a big name, but I mean, he's barely mid-card in AEW right now. And it's just disappointing when MJF doesn't have more to do and shouldn't be more involved. So he's my wrestler on the slide.
I hate to do this, but my wrestler on the slide is the almighty Bobby Lashley. I understand exactly what they're doing with building up Big E, just like you were talking about, but the fact that they used that Goldberg promo before the match already led me to believe that he was going to lose. Now, I didn't actually believe that Big E was going to lose anyway in the steel cage match, but it just basically lobbed it up saying that it's just going to be Lashley versus Goldberg. And now that there's no title on the line, there's no real reason for them to not have Bill Goldberg go over, especially because he's coming to avenge the honor of his son, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I get it. It makes
I'm going to flip my shit if that's true. You're probably right, and you laid out a great case, but I'm going to flip my shit if that's true.
I'm going to come off. That's going to be, like, the one thing that I do is, like, talk about that shit-ass pay-per-view. Is that he, like, listen.
You remember, you can't come on the podcast talk about it because you said you're not watching it.
I'm not.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
If they're going to pay, Goldberg's getting a huge payout. That's the thing, is that the payouts for those Saudi shows are massive. So, like, fucking let Goldberg go over there and get a big payout and get a shit pushed in. I will have a fucking aneurysm if that's what happens.
But
and
Ryan
I can see it
made a very good case for now. I'm worried. I thought for sure them taking the title off Lashley was partly because they felt confident that they had the win versus Goldberg coming up to kind of, you know, push him back up the ladder. But you're right, with the Sun storyline.
I am wrong.
No, I know. No, I.
No, we all. No. But you make a good point.
Yeah.
And it's that we are.
We can see it. Like, we can see that line of thinking, like, now that you've laid it out there. Sam, who's yours?
Mine are, you know, Finn Balor losing as the demon, disappointing. But my bigger one was Alexa Bliss, who lost in her hometown, is going to go away for a while, I think is what the rumors are. And it just feels, you know, I don't know where she goes from here.
They're going to restart her. Hopefully they're going to get rid of this gimmick, in which case I think that it's a plus. If she comes back as the same Bliss, I'm with you. But if not, I think she needs a reset. They need to get that awful gimmick off her. She's done, you know, what do you call it? You know, lemonade out of lemons, whatever you want to say.
Yeah, lemons out of lemonade, yeah.
But, I mean, she's too talented. Let's just let her be Alexa Bliss. And we kind of saw a little bit of it in the last promo.
Let's please. I mean, come on.
Who's your face of the week, Sam?
I went with Finn Balor, actually, just because I love the Demon. I love it as like the thing that he breaks out, like, you know, do not, you know, in case of emergency, break glass. I thought that this Demon should not have lost for a long time. That's why I'm not thrilled that they brought him back. But I think that, you know, focusing on Finn versus Roman is a great feud. It just disappoints me that it was a tune-up and it seems like a second fiddle for Roman versus Brock.
My thing for the week was, like I had said earlier, I had wanted it to be Big E, but I'm going to keep tooting the horn of my man Damian Priest. They used a triple threat match with two well-established stars to really, you know, show his muster. It was a really great match. And then he turned around and had a hardcore, a more extreme match than he had on the pay-per-view on Monday night. Yes, the sense making of it all, but he had an extreme match where he once again, you know, holds on to the U.S. title. It just, using the triple threat match and another back-to-back title defense the night after, it just tells me that, you know, they have long-term plans for, you know, Damian Priest, and he's going to be a mainstay for quite some time.
So my face of the week is AEW for continuing to just give these bangers at the beginning of their show. I mean, just in the last 8 days, we've got Brian versus Omega, Punk versus Hobbs, and Jungle Boy versus Adam Cole to open the shows. Obviously, we talked about the CM Punk deal, which I think that was a lot about just that's what everybody was there for. You know, kind of same deal, I think, with Omega and Brian. It's came out they wanted to make sure that basically what Sam was saying. They didn't want to make sure or wanted to ensure that the match, you know, wasn't cut short or they didn't have to, you know, make any tough decisions, you know, with somebody right beforehand. They would just be able to go out there and have their time. But, I mean, it's different. And it's something I applaud them for. I always love when companies take risks and do something that is different than what has been, you know, historically, even going back to both WCW and WWF since we've been on, you know, weekly television, to really try to get eyes for the later hours. And yeah, they would start off with something, but not the most appealing thing on the card. So I really do want to give them kudos. I hope they continue to do it. And I hope it's working for them. I'm assuming they're just saying, we want to grab people's attention. We want to get you on there. And then we hope the show is good enough, not only with that opening match, but for the rest of it to keep your attention.
And on a night like tonight, it was easy to do. You know, if anyone, even if you were grabbing a casual who was, you know, a WWE fan and they're like, oh, it's a tribute to Brody Lee on top of it. It's, a, you know, a tribute to Luke Harper. Well, let's continue to watch. And then maybe, like you said, you may do draw in a couple more new fans. I mean, they're starting to put up numbers to match Raw nowadays.
And I'm going to piggyback off of that, too. One thing, and not to turn more into the guy who shits on the WWE, I think that, you know, I get why they did the Big E Lashley thing at the beginning of Raw like they did to draw eyes away from Monday Night Football. But you have to applaud AEW for actually going through with it. It was, you know, having Omega, Danielson, and not having it end and, you know, the Young Bucks, whatever, come out. And then we're going to do it at the end of the show. So we've got your eyes here. You're going to get it. I respect that they commit to that.
All right. Heel of the week. I was going to go with Cody Rhodes' cape, but I felt like that Cody's a good guy. I don't want to do that to him, but he seriously looked like Queen Elizabeth out there with that robe. But Becky Lynch, I told everybody the execution was bad. I get it. The execution was awful, but I have belief in Becky Lynch, and I still do. She is – I know fans don't want to boo her yet, but they're starting to. And, I mean, I did really start to hear legit more cheers for Bianca when they would do the Becky Bianca chants, or actually it was Becky EST chants during that match. And, I mean, think about saying that a year ago, that in a match between Becky Lynch versus any other female star – you could have, you know, more cheers for the other person than for Becky. I just, again, her facial expressions, the thumbs up, the smiles, her face when Sasha came and saved her. And then again, her interview, you know, where she just said a win's a win. Like, what are you talking about? Why shouldn't I be celebrating? I'm still the champion. I like the heel she's playing, and they made her pretty strong in the match. It's not like they made her weak. Yeah, obviously she was doing, you know, some of the stuff that all heels do, but it you know, she was also bringing it to, you know, Bianca talking smack, everything else. So Becky Lynch is my heel of the week.
If I can just touch on that before I get low on mine. I was starting to think about, you know, how we differentiate being able to tell people who have done both face and heel work. And I think one of the biggest qualities of physical qualities of Becky's heel work is that you notice her hair is always straightened, whereas usually it's just in her long natural curls, but whatever is not braided is just completely straight. So it's kind of like, I guess, the chin strap for Keith Lee right now.
Right.
You Bearcat?
Bearcat, yeah. my heel of the week, I'm going to Sasha Banks. I'm hoping that this just doesn't become her gimmick, like you had said in the group, Sammy, of always having a big comeback. But, you know, I'm happy to see her back. I'm hoping that the eventual triple threat will... Maybe this is a way that they can take the belt off of Becky without Becky taking the loss to Bianca. I don't know. But either way, whoever's going to come out on top, we're going to get one hell of a match out of this triple threat.
One thing I wanted to piggyback off of on Becky being a heel and getting that reaction is that I don't think, you know, and maybe I'm not the one who should be saying this, but that a black woman getting a better reaction than Becky, I feel like, is a big deal for WWE audience, you know, where people, you know, non-white wrestlers have not historically gotten a whole lot of play, and for them to trust that Bianca can get the love from that crowd, it's kind of a big deal and something that should be applauded.
Yeah, Sasha too, though, has kind of, in my opinion, reached that level at times.
But my heel of the week is God, for the broken top turnbuckle and for the 1 year of, I think we're at the 1 year of losing John Huber, Brody Lee, Keith, Luke Harper. Taken from us much too soon and very much missed. I was glad, you know, AEW did a wonderful tribute to him, and I hope that his family is doing well. I know that he's missed by fans and by his friends, it seems.
You know, I did hear just...
That was December there, but it was in his hometown.
Yeah.
Oh, it was December.
So it was supposed to be his... I thought, yeah. So...
He was actually supposed to make his debut in Rochester last year, around this time.
But when did he die?
December.
Oh, it was December. Okay. Because I've also one of the, I don't know if you guys, I shared in the group the Big E interview on one of the Ringer podcasts, and just him talking about how happy Brody's son was that Big E won the title. Is, you know, he's still his favorite wrestler, which I just think speaks to how close Big E is to Brody and obviously how good he is to kids and fans. The match of the week, I got to go Big E versus Lashley in the cage. I don't know what's gotten into me. I don't know if it's just that there's so many more of these, you know, athletic, faster paced, you know, smaller guy matches now with AEW, NXT, and let's be honest, a majority of the WWE main eventers, or at least upper mid card to main eventers being smaller guys. I really enjoy seeing two hosses just throw down who both can really go in the ring. Like big beady man slapping meat. I mean, I'm right in Biggie's corner here. These guys, like Lashley, again, I don't want to downplay just how good his matches have been since he became champion. And it's great to see that he's continuing that even after losing the belt, because I'm sure that just human nature after you lose the title is maybe you don't want to go quite as hard because you're a little disappointed or whatever. And he is still putting out great matches. And again, I think they're doing a very good job. I know it's only a few weeks in, though, building up Big E's first title reign. I think they have big plans for Big E. And I still think for some reason you know, part of why they rush that is because they're not sure what is ultimately going to happen with Big E versus, with Roman Reigns' dance partner at Mania. I really do think they're trying to make The Rock happen somehow. I know it's probably a long shot, but I do think that they're trying to make that happen. And because of it, they're waiting on it, but we could get a title unification down the line, which I'm okay with. But I just love Big E versus Lashley's cage match. And that's honestly three great matches that they had just within this week.
They really did. And, you know, I was going to also jump in and go like with more Big E love. I absolutely loved, to your point about Bobby Lashley, how he threw that choke when Big E initially went for the big ending off of the second rope and turned it into a submission. Like, my man Lashley, he's just been leveling up, like I said, you know, many times here. He's just putting on really great matches. But mine, like I had said earlier in the pod, was the Usos and the Street Profits. The Usos, man, those guys can just flat out wrestle. And, you know, you put them in the ring with another team that really knows what they're doing, and they can just put on one heck of a spectacular show. I mean, we all know what kind of move, the skill set, being around and still pulling off the same moves and still making it look flawless each and every time. And, you know, Montez Ford was close for being the face of the week for me just because of the two great matches that he had had in that tag team title match and the one that he had had with Roman on Friday night.
Gonna be a star.
Sammy.
Mine is, I'm sticking with the WWE. I am going with the Bianca Sasha match, which, as I said, with a clean finish, it been five rabbit opossums. Would have gotten my the full rabidity.
You're gonna get muted.
No, I thought it was a great match. And I thought that it really did a good job. I'm sorry, Bianca Becky, not Bianca Sasha. Bianca Becky was, I thought, a great match, and absolutely just, I thought it was deserved a lot of credit.
We're recording later than usual. That is the reason that I've already called the Demon the Fiend. Ronell earlier said wanted to give love to AEW when he meant NXT, and now Sam has also made a mistake. So we were three for three, but we wanted to get this podcast out tonight. So I just want to let people, we apologize if we make the occasional slip of the tongue, especially for us non-West Coasters, Sam. You know, well, I appreciate that. But, I mean, it really is. It's I do apologize that we make some stupid mistakes like that. Mine being the worst. I can't believe I called him Fiend and didn't realize it. The promo of the week for me was Naomi. Oh, my God, she's on TV and actually being implemented. And she demanded a match, you know, with Sonya when she was not giving that. She then demanded a match with Sonya Deville, which that's got me a little bit excited. And she even went out, was leading the crowd in a make that match chant, and then was being taken out by security. Naomi 316 is here, ladies and gentlemen. But I mean, in all seriousness, I love Naomi. I do not understand why they haven't used her. I'm hoping that this is, you know, proof that they're going to let her become a focal point, especially on a SmackDown that, yeah, the top with Becky and Sasha and Bianca is loaded, but they definitely need more women's matches, and they have other talented women. They have other talented heels on there. They should use her. And again, if this leads to Sonya's return on top of Naomi getting more spotlight, that's just an all around great plan to me.
Give it to me.
I think that's where we're headed.
And I am so happy that we're to this point, you know. Welcome. I mean, I'm glad that you've been back on television, Sonya, but I've missed you in the ring.
Yeah, she was on fire.
My promo of the week, just basically Charlotte. Yeah, she totally was just basically Charlotte destroying Lily. I love the fact that, you know, the crowd went absolutely bonkers. Alexa Bliss is such an amazing actress to sell all of that. I feel bad that she had a wardrobe malfunction with her tablet. You know, I don't know what happened. If it's, you know, they switched it with the Alka-Seltzer and it was supposed to be the black tab or whatever the case may be. But even the crowd getting behind it and giving Lily a send-off. Like, and finally, we'll, you know, the cherry on this beautiful Sunday is that finally, hopefully, we're done with this character for Alexa, like you had said earlier in the show. Bring us back just the regular Alexa Bliss, who, like every other woman, just wants her belt back.
I was going with the Charlotte. I mean, there the Charlotte one was the most memorable, but I didn't really think there was much in the way of promos this week that impressed me. But so that was sort of Charlotte was the most memorable one.
All right. So the storylines you need to pay attention to. For me, I'm interested to see if New York, or I guess I should say the smart fans, have the ability to turn regular AEW fans on Cody Rhodes, because this is the second straight show in New York for Cody, a second straight night of, I mean, audible boos,
Cody
sucks chants. And it just, it reminds me so much of the Cena chants when they first started, when it was a very small, you know, very small contingent of the fan base. And then next thing you know, like within a year, it became so popular. It reminded me of the what chant, or, you know what I mean? It just, all of a sudden it was fans were like, oh, okay, we're going to chant John Cena sucks as his, you know, his music plays. And the reason this is important is because up until now, overall, AEW fans, to their credit, have done pretty much exactly what AEW bookers have wanted. And what I mean by that is they've rooted for who you wanted to root for, and they booed who you wanted to boo for. And I think, I don't know if it was Sam Marino made this point a long time ago, but that is when wrestling's at its best. Like when fans are not ultimately shitting on stuff immediately, and they actually try to go, okay, this is the way it's presented. I'm not saying that you can't then turn on it if it's awful, but at least give it a chance. And a lot of times fans will immediately kind of turn on something. And it's just interesting to see if this Cody thing does sort of continue. And I just, there was a lot of eyes on these last couple of shows. So I do wonder how many people are going to be booing him and chanting Cody sucks at other venues now moving forward. And is that sort of the thing that opens Pandora's box? To where anger leads to hate, hate leads to the dark side, and you just get AEW fans in a lot of ways turning into what they say they hate, which is WWE fans, where they're going to have guys they hate, they're going to have guys that people are not being booked correctly and all this other stuff, which, again, they're still in the honeymoon phase, and as you get bigger, I just think it's going to be interesting to see this, because this could be the first domino of the fans sort of treating it, you know, again, not in this honeymoon stage, which AEW has absolutely gotten and deserved for the first 2 years. But I'm sorry, it's only a matter of time before that stops and people are going to start shitting on people and people are going to start saying their guy's not being pushed and people are going to boo who they want to boo and cheer who they want to cheer. And it just was unique to me because, I mean, the Cody sucks chants were loud tonight on Dynamite.
Hey, I'm going to let
– yeah, and
I just – I don't mean to interrupt Ronald, but because I'm about to throw the
– no, go ahead,
Sam. See you. But do you want to explain to Keith how far Rochester is from New York City?
Is it a long way?
Rochester, it's a long
way. Yeah, New York is not
a small state. So from Rochester, from me to Rochester, and I'm 2 hours north of New York, I'm still 4-5 hours from Rochester.
My question is to you, though, would you not agree that probably 50% of the crowd that was at AEW the week before was also at the Rochester show? And that's my point. It's a lot of the same crowd. Like, if it's that, even if it's a couple hours, I find it hard to believe that.
Yeah, it's
not a couple.
8 hours.
You're talking six and a half, seven hours each way.
Okay.
On the road.
Well, then maybe it's already happened.
I was just busting your balls there, Keith. Sorry.
But there's a couple of more things that I'd love to add to that because, you know, I love the fact that, you know, Arn took Lee Johnson and, you know, the crowd was with Arn saying, you know, you're the guy that will let the carjacker take your car where I'll put my gun to his head and splatter his brains all over this sidewalk. And everybody's cheering that. But on top of that, it is now a word that all the EVPs are away from the creative. So now they're kind of being a little bit more hands off as to where the product is going. I'm sure they, you know, give ideas, but they're not the mainstays to where things are going right now. But my storyline to be paying attention to, I had written this before Dynamite, and I was going to ask, does Sammy G win his first title? The Sammy G era is here. He is one of their future bright stars. He's one of those guys who at least can do both heel and face. So I think he could be one of your future heel champions. And I'm just excited to see what happens during his title run. Obviously, as we saw on the show, he's dragging Bobby Fish into AEW next week for a shot.
Just to piggyback off of that, my joke with Ronel before the show started was that my AEW Randy Orton is Sammy Guevara. We'll get more into this at some point, I'm sure, where I complain about Sammy Guevara. My storyline that you need to pay attention to is, where does the WWE SmackDown title go from here? Are we going towards a longer Brock feud? Are we, you know, what's going to happen with Finn? What's the story there? I'm curious to see where they go.
Well, that is an interesting point. I'm hoping that it doesn't be a Brock thing. I'm wondering if there's still a swerve with Heyman down the road.
All right, we've got the end of this pod. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, Sam. I mean, my concern is that they're going to back pocket. I'm concerned that they're going to back pocket, you know, that if they can't do Rock Roman, they're going to do Brock Roman. Just going to put a B on the marquee.
I'm actually okay with that. Ronel, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
You would be.
I am.
Our usual, the Mothership, IB Entertainment, IB Sports groups on Facebook. There's the premium package, the Patreon, which will allow you to be commissioner for the day. Levy Finds, Mutes. That's a really fun time if you come in and get the show. Also follow IV Sports on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
I want to plug the Team Turnbuckle Twitter account, which I, you know, enjoy interacting with. I also want to plug WWE Simpsons memes on Twitter, which is one of my favorite Twitter accounts. Makes me laugh consistently. It's two of my favorite things together.
And I just want to again plug the IB Sports Podcast Network. And, you know, obviously these guys, both Ronno and Sam, I enjoy doing this podcast. And I not toot my own horn, but I did say that I felt like wrestling was going to improve and there was going to be a huge uptick. You know, once we kind of got out of COVID, they got back into crowds. And I mean, both AEW and WWE showed that they were in their own ways, sort of holding back. And if you just look at all the stuff that's happened on both shows and some of the feuds that we've gotten pretty much immediately, I'm excited. I mean, I think wrestling is in the best place it's been in a long time. There's two really good promotions. And again, people should just enjoy it, and not necessarily, you know, shit on one or the other, or be pro one or the other, take it, you know, stance by stance. I just think as wrestling fans, we enjoy it more. But for the Chief Keith Fleming, for the ravishing Ron L. Tinsley, Sam the Shooter Howe, this has been another edition of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network.